Hey, Encounter. Happy Monday to you. Welcome back. It's fun to be together. It's fun to see your names pop up in the chat. It's fun to watch people interact. So please keep doing that as you watch. I'm grateful that even though we don't get to be together in person, we still get to be together in a certain way. And so we'll take what we can get at this point. So I'm grateful that tonight an old friend of ours named Cedric is going to be with us and teaching. You may have seen Cedric here before. He's taught with us before, but I actually should be calling him Dr. Cedric now because he has his PhD. And he does a lot of work with people in therapy, both individually and with teams. So I'm just grateful for the role that he plays and for the man of God that he is and for his unique insight that we're going to get tonight. But I wanted to give you a quick encouragement before I hand it off to Cedric, and that is this, this isn't a surprise to the Lord, that God knew what was coming. So 2 years ago, as we were praying as a ministry, God helped lead us and guide us to what's next. I didn't know that he was preparing us for this spot, but he was. When I've been praying about that for myself personally or for my family, God, develop us, help us do what we need to do in the present for what will your kingdom purposes accomplish in the future. I didn't know he was preparing us for a global pandemic, but he was. And he is, and he's doing the same for you. And so I'm hoping that lets you lean back just a little bit into who he is and his character, and to trust that he knew what he was doing, even when you didn't know that's the thing that he was doing in its time. And so in that same vein, when we were praying about what Monday nights should look like, all of these different themes that God brought to light, we didn't know what he was doing at the time. But tonight, the verses that Cedric will be speaking on, or about suffering, what it means as a Christian to suffer, what it means to serve a God who went through suffering on our behalf and can relate to us in our weakness that way. So I'm just grateful to the Lord that as I see the bigger picture of what's happening right now, I realize he has been preparing us for this. He has been preparing you for this. And so I'm going to hand it off to Cedric, but one encouragement before I leave is this. One of the things that we have been doing as a staff, and one of the things that we have been praying for you as students and leaders as well, is just that as God brings names to your mind of people, whether we're talking about relatives, whether we're talking about friends, whether we're talking about friends from high school, whatever they are, that we would be good shepherds right now, that we would seek those relationships out, that we would send a note, a text, a Facebook message and say, hey, how are you doing right now? We need to be intentional in this space, and I'm asking you to do that. I'm asking that you would not see that as an accident when that name pops in your mind. You would say, okay, Holy Spirit, I know what you're doing right now, and you'd chase those things down. I don't want people around us to live in isolation and loneliness right now. I think we can be the hands and feet of Christ. Even if we can't do it in person, we have the tools at our disposal to do it virtually. So let's be that kind of people. Love y'all. I am going to hand it off to Cedric. Cedric, it's all yours.
Hey, Encounter community. My name is Cedric, and I am so glad to be with you all today, wherever you are at. I look forward to meeting with you this semester in Capen Auditorium, but due to the COVID-19 pandemic, we all have had to change plans and just shift our expectations of what life is going to look like. In some ways, we're continually working on and accepting this new pattern that is full of unknowns. Today, we are going to explore two questions that come up during a passage of scripture from Matthew 27. Those two questions are, one, where is God during suffering? And two, what role does the community of God have during suffering? In some ways, these two questions are some of the most salient questions we seek to answer during difficult moments. Difficult moments in the here and now, when isolation has increased, death is rampant in our global community, and injustice and disparities are undeniable. So where is God, and what are we to do as a Christian community? Before I enter into the text, I would like to share a prayer and ask you to join me as I read an anonymous text or anonymous prayer from a Christian who is also suffering through a pandemic. And she wrote, God, Thank you for the many precious promises in your word that reassures us that the various sufferings that we face today will eventually end and your glory will be revealed. Thank you that the pain we endure has the power to eventually turn and give way to joys when all tears will be wiped from our eyes. All glory to be to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves receive from the Lord. Amen. So as I mentioned, our text is in Matthew 27. In the text, the author gives a very gruesome and descriptive depiction of the crucifixion of Jesus. In verse 46, there is a section that is especially troubling to me, in which Jesus quotes a passage of Scripture from Psalms 22 that was written by David, when he states very clearly, my God, why have you forsaken me? In this moment of great vulnerability, we see Jesus is suffering physically, but he's suffering with great emotion and expression of his pain, an expression of his thought process of his pain as well. Many have rightfully asked, where was God in the most crucial moment of Jesus' suffering? Did Jesus cease being connected with God? This passage has continued to give theologians and biblical scholars a lot to ponder over the years. Martin Luther was recorded to have withdrawn for weeks to study this specific passage in Matthew 27 to come back with only more questions than answers. There is a lot of conjecture about the theological implications of the crucifixion of Jesus. However, throughout church history, we see a strong consensus from the community of God that Jesus did not cease being the Son of God in this moment. God did not cease being God in this moment. However, we all also see a consensus and an acknowledgement that there was a significant shift in the level of intimacy and fellowship that was felt in that moment. Yet it is clear that Jesus, in an exhibition of his full humanity, was not exempt from these raw emotions and realities of anguish and crying out for answers regarding God's presence and suffering. This is also a sentiment that's recorded in Hebrews 4, when the author highlights Jesus' ability to empathize deeply with suffering and feelings of loneliness. That we do have a Messiah who understands pain, who understands suffering, who understands loneliness, and can empathize deeply with followers of Christ, right? He can empathize with us in our moments where we do feel pain and suffering. In our context, we may be in similar positions of feeling far away and question where is God in this continued moment of crisis and upheaval. Our faith in God compels us to hold to the truth that God continues to be God in suffering. As a psychologist, each client that I meet with is suffering in some capacity. I can assure you that it is a very normal response to have questions about our experience of God's continuous presence during moments of crisis. This is normal. This happens all the time, all throughout the ages, and we see this in Scripture as well. When crisis abounds, one way we experience God's continued care for humanity in crisis can be seen in the activation of the community of God. Which brings us to our second question. What role does the community of God have during suffering? And I want to briefly address the idea and the notion of what should I be doing? As a suggestion, it may be beneficial to make a conscious shift to using language that focuses on the community of God's response during this time and suffering, rather than solely focusing on an individualistic perspective. What I observe in Scripture and in church history is that God's plan in suffering is to instill hope into an onlooking world through the image bearers of God. And so from what I see in scriptures during suffering, what I read from the writings of the church during pandemics specifically, and what I experience from just sitting with clients in psychotherapy, is that when we experience suffering, the way that we can experience intimacy with God is through a variety of different responses. Today, I'm going to briefly share three of those responses. The first response is to have continued fellowship. The second is cultivating intimacy with God through the spiritual disciplines. And finally, it is to lean into service to those who are suffering. So with continued fellowship with your community, your Christian community, and with the global community is extremely important. Our connectivity as God's creation is what joins us together, right? This is going to look different for every single person who is watching this video. Martin Luther wrote in 1527, during one of the plagues, to Christians to not judge one another for different decisions and actions of fellowship during these types of sufferings, and to stay away from the propensity towards self-righteousness during these moments in history. Continued fellowship with your global neighbors and with the Christian community is meant to be descriptive and less prescriptive in these moments. I will not provide a long list of what you should be doing. Because the truth is that I truly believe that you are the expert in your contextual environment. My hope is that the encouragement from the Word of God and the long history of Christian believers who have endured similar circumstances propels you towards seeing the value of continued fellowship in whatever capacity that may be in your cultural context. The second is to continue to cultivate an cultivation of intimacy with God through spiritual disciplines. Henry Nouwen once said that silence and solitude is the furnace of transformation. Silence and solitude propels us to be able to sit and to be with God, and to be able to be in communion with God, and to transform during that time to be more Christ-like. During this time, I would encourage you to explore spiritual disciplines that you may be less familiar with. Currently, I'm reading a book called Spiritual Disciplines Handbook, Practices That Transform, and this is by Adele Calhoun, which has been really a helpful guide for me that can be done, you know, individually, but it also can be done in a digital community as well. Some of the spiritual disciplines that I have found from this book over the last couple of weeks that have been most salient for me have been the spiritual disciplines of rest, right? Taking time just to be and to sleep and to take a nap and to enjoy my family. Slowing, which I think that for all of us, like, we're kind of grappling with this idea of what slowing looks like in our context. Discernment, which has been huge, right? Praying, like, what is next? What is now? What am I looking forward to? What can I discern about, whether it be with college or what is next, with my classes, my career trajectory? Taking this time for discernment, stewardship, right? Of taking care of whether it be the earth, whether it be my finances, whether it be like my room or my small space that I do have control over or lose control over. Inner healing prayer and self-control of words. All of these practices create space for us to experience intimacy and fellowship with God during moments of suffering. Finally, I would like to highlight the spiritual discipline of service, specifically to those who suffer. Suffering is vast and can represent physical, emotional, psychological, and spiritual suffering. The key point that I would like to make is that service to the suffering is not only for a time of the current crisis. As a Christian, there is an ongoing crisis of sin and separation from a loving God. I'm contending that we do not offer only one-time gestures of service during this current pandemic, but as a community, we begin asking God how we can shift our gestures of service and how they can become more of a consistent posture of service to those who suffer. This is in our local communities. This could be in our campuses when we return for the students, our international students, neighbors, whoever it may be, friends, family members. As I mentioned before, you are the expert in your cultural context, and I hope that you will do your own investigation and your own prayers of discernment to determine ways to live out a life of service to those that suffer. So as a Christian community, I implore all of us to continue in these movements towards intimacy with God during our moments of suffering, to continue to fellowship with one another, to continue to cultivate intimacy with God through spiritual disciplines, and to specifically begin to have an active posture and disposition of service to those who are suffering. So as I conclude, may we continue to exercise our faith and trust that God is present during our greatest moments of suffering. May we also know that the love of Christ is made known to an observant world by the work of the global church that is active in spreading faith, hope, and love, ultimately for the glory of God. As we engage in that service of Christ, may we feel the intimacy and closeness of God through our connectivity with our brothers and sisters of humanity, who are all image bearers of a loving God. I just want to say thank you to the Encounter community for joining on, I don't know if it's called a webcast or I'm kind of dating myself. I don't know what it's called, but I'm glad that you kind of tuned in and were able to listen and just to be here and to be present and to continue to gather together. I appreciate that, and it's great to be able to fellowship with you all today. And I'm going to close with a prayer from Ephesians 3, which you may have heard before. So if you can, just receive this. You can open up your hands if you feel comfortable. You can just sit still. You can close your eyes. But it's just a short and simple prayer to close our time together. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Once again, it was great being here with you all today. I, as a resident of Bloomington Normal Community, I can't wait to see all of the students back on campus. We miss you all. We love you. We're thinking about you. We're praying for you all. We pray that you are staying strong and staying vigilant, but enjoying your time away and finding community in the small spaces of life. All right. Blessings. Thank you.